Good morning, Texas Tech. I'm Josh Cook, and on today's show, we'll be going over the nitty-gritty details of the Oscars, including was Seth MacFarlane a good host, bad host, and the appearance of Ted. Was it good or bad?
And I'm Julie Fisher. Later in the show, we'll be joined by special guests Dr. Robert Peasley from our own College of Media and Communication, and also Rob Weiner, Texas Tech's subject librarian.
I'm Marissa, and happy Sweet 16 to one of my Young Life girls, Hannah. Good luck on your driving test today. And KTXT News and Weather is next.
Good morning, I'm Kiara Powell with a look at your KTXT News update. Two people are in custody after a high-speed chase yesterday. According to KCBD, the chase started around after an attempted traffic stop when the female driver took off at 95 miles per hour. Then someone in the vehicle opened fire on pursuing officers. The chase ended in a field on Woodrow Road, where the driver was arrested on scene. That's when 30-year-old Roberto Riviera fled on foot. After a search, which included Slayton PD, LSO, K-9 units, and DPS helicopters, he was arrested around 1 a.m. On Wednesday, the U.S. Supreme Court will take up a case that could considerably weaken a key part of the Voting Rights Act. Texas civil rights leaders say if this happens, the Latino and African American voters in the state will certainly be discriminated against. Frontera's correspondent David Martin Davies reports.
The case before the nation's high court, Shelby v. Holder, is a constitutional challenge to Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. That prevents states like Texas and Arizona, with a history of voter discrimination, from changing their voting procedures without proving they won't hurt minorities. Texas Representative Trey Martinez-Fisher says without the Voting Rights Act, Hispanic voters in Texas would be intentionally discriminated against.
We have lots of evidence in both the Texas redistricting case and the voter ID case that will suggest very clearly just what could happen without Section 5.
Under Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott, Texas lost court battles for redistricting and voter ID, which the courts found to discriminate against minorities in Texas.
So when I hear people like General Abbott say that Section 5 has outlived its purpose, we no longer need Section 5, I think what he's telling you is that he's tired of losing under Section 5.
Abbott has filed a friend of the court brief asking the Voting Rights Act to be voided. He says it's another example of the federal government interfering with the rights of states, and it's an unnecessary burden to states. David Martin Davies reporting.
Here's Cutter Martin with a look at our weather.
Good morning, Lubbock. It's another cold one out there with temperatures in the 20s and 30s across the South Plains this Wednesday morning. After an overnight cold front, we'll have a cool afternoon as well with highs in the mid-40s, and these winds will continue through the afternoon, possibly gusting as high as 20 to 25 miles per hour. Certainly don't expect any blowing dust, but could have some much colder wind chills because of these winds. And also, remember as you're driving around this morning, we didn't have any snow overnight, but any snow melt probably refroze on area roadways, so please drive carefully. I'm Cutter Martin with your KTXT forecast. Now back to the BBC.
Every time you go, it starts with a picture and it sits in your frame. We part with a letter and it ends in my name. And it starts with forever and it ends with a touch.
Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech here on KTXT The Raider 88.1 FM Lubbock. You can join the conversation by tweeting us at TheRaider881 or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRaider881. Josh Cook alongside Julie Fisher, Marissa Trevino, and Kira Powell this morning. And we are talking about the Oscars that happened on Sunday. Originally, this was our idea for Monday show, but we got blizzarded in to all of our houses.
And I don't think any of us were disappointed.
No, I quite enjoyed my snow day. And then all my teachers canceled class on Tuesday, so I had a 4-day weekend. It was beautiful.
Actually, I take it back. I think DG might have been a little bit disappointed.
Well, DG loves to work.
Because you love severe weather. And I think that you wanted us all to risk our lives
to come report on it. I feel like I could see that when we were getting those texts at 5:30 in the morning, like wall-to-wall coverage with pictures, and I was like, I'm not getting out of my bed.
I literally rolled over, stuck my phone up to the window, took a picture, was like, I've done my job for today. I'm going back to sleep. Anyway, back to the Oscars. In case you have no idea what the Oscars are, we put together a little bit of an Oscar history package for you. Here it is.
Sunday night, the 85th Annual Academy Awards honored the very best in the film industry for their achievements over the past year. Contrary to the spectacle it is today, this historic event can be traced to a small, private brunch at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel on May 16, 1929. If you were interested in attending this first event, you had to fork up a whole $5. In attendance, about 270 people. The amount of awards given out, just 12. But there was no nail-biting or finger-crossing here, since the winners were chosen 3 months in advance, a practice which was promptly changed for the second awards in 1930. The proceedings were put on by Louis B. Meyer, who had founded the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences 2 years earlier. On the creation of the awards, Myers commented, "I found that the best way to handle filmmakers was to hang medals all over them." Paramount famous Lasky's movie Wings took home Best Picture, Emil Jannings won Best Actor, and Janet Gaynor was honored with the Best Actress Award. A special award was given to Charlie Chaplin for acting, writing, directing, and producing The Circus. If you wanted to witness the proceedings yourself, you were out of luck. Though you could listen in on the radio the following year, the Oscars weren't televised until 1953. From humble beginnings to grand spectacle, the Oscars are a piece of American history that keep millions of viewers coming back year after year. For KTXT, I'm Kevin Wade.
Very inspiring package. I like that package. I like the music on it.
Yes.
Anyway, okay, I got a little bit distracted during the break because I was watching the video of Jennifer Lawrence, quote-unquote, falling on the steps. There was a lot during this Oscars. There was a lot of, I guess, controversial type things that happened. There was the...
A lot of boring things that went on.
Oh my gosh.
They talked about Seth MacFarlane being the host, and I didn't watch the Oscars when they actually showed. I watched them last night, and I didn't think it was as bad as everybody kind of made it out to be. I thought it was going to be so much worse, and I was ready to like criticize them because I don't like Family Guy. But I thought it could have been a lot racier than it was.
Well, yeah, you can always make it more racy than it currently is.
And here's the thing about Seth MacFarlane and people that are complaining about it. It's like, okay, you knew in advance who the host was going to be. Mm-hmm. You knew what his work was. You kind of expected what he was going to do. So anybody that was surprised or shocked that he was that, sexist, anything like along the lines of that, you know, it's
obnoxious.
Like, okay, what did you think he was going to do? Come out there and be a very calm Seth MacFarlane? No, he was going to do what he does. He was going to perform his little shtick that he usually does and his jokes, and they were going to involve pretty much anyone and everybody that he made fun of. So,
but I don't think anything was that bad. That's
it wasn't.
What I was saying.
I don't like Seth MacFarlane at all, and I think we were talking about it in our hallway meeting yesterday, and DG pointed out that Seth MacFarlane does animated comedy, and I think that was very apparent in his standing in front of a live audience, because I just didn't feel it.
I didn't think any of his jokes were funny. I didn't think he was funny. I didn't think the audience connected with him. I thought it was dull.
I agree.
I thought Charlize Theron dancing with Channing Tatum was really fun.
Well, you can't dislike those two.
For me, I don't know.
I don't like Seth MacFarlane, and when I found out that he was hosting the Oscars, I was like, you guys are really desperate. You are really just trying to make any kind of sensation.
He said he won't do it again.
Well,
so
good.
You're in luck there, Julie.
I'm glad. Also, as I mentioned, I was watching Jennifer Lawrence's Fall. Have y'all watched that?
Yeah, I did see that.
What do y'all think about it?
I mean, I feel like she just tripped up the stairs on her big dress. I think that she's not a person that wears dresses like that very often, and they're hard to walk in.
I feel like that was not legit.
Why? Why would someone fake a fall?
Okay.
In front of thousands upon thousands of people.
Because of publicity.
I don't think so.
Okay. She is a really big internet sensation. People are crazy about her because she is not mainstream, and she is not, you know, this typical movie actress.
But she is mainstream now.
Hunger Games. But she's trying to preserve that not. Because that she's trying to preserve the fact that she's not, even though she is. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, a lot of her audience likes her because she's not, quote-unquote, mainstream.
She wants to stay underground.
Yes. And so if she acts like she doesn't fit in with this crowd, I think it helps her a little bit. And I've fallen a lot before. That was not a legit fall.
Well, analyzing.
In my opinion.
I feel like we've now started a conspiracy theory.
I hope so.
I love Jennifer Lawrence, and I think that was a real fall. I disagree.
I don't really care.
Well, let us know what you think. Hit us up on the Raider 881 on Facebook or Twitter, and tell us what you think about Jennifer Lawrence's fall. We'll be right back.
This is the Go Tech, Go Greek Update, a program designed to discuss all things happening in the Greek community right here at Texas Tech. The Greek Update is a production of the College of Media and Communication at Texas Tech University. Welcome to the Go Tech, Go Greek Update. I'm your host, Lauren Locke. Last time we filled you in on what the National Panhellenic Council was all about. So today we are going to tell you the ins and outs of the Interfraternity Council. According to the Texas Tech IFC, it is the governing body for all of the fraternities on Tech's campus who are members of the National Interfraternity Council. Just like Panhellenic, IFC was founded on the values of scholarship, leadership, brotherhood, and philanthropy. All of the fraternities thrive on the values they were each founded upon, by giving their members the resources to develop the skills needed to be an empowered man. Each group here at Tech strives to uphold academic excellence, serve in the community and on campus, and create lasting friendships. Once again, joining a fraternity is so much more than paying dues to attend social events. It gives all men the opportunity to become better men. IFC has partnered up with Panhellenic every other year to participate in the Habitat for Humanity, as well as each group individually hosting and participating in different service projects. Being in a fraternity also provides enormous networking possibilities. There are so many different benefits that come with being a part of a Greek organization, and it doesn't stop once you finish college. They last for a lifetime. You can find out more information about the Greek community and other information in the Center for Campus Life on the second floor of the Student Union Building, as well as online at greek.ttu.edu. For the Go Tech, Go Greek Update, I'm Lauren Locke. Join us next time to find out more about Greek life on Texas Tech's campus. The Go Tech, Go Greek Update is produced at KTXT-FM in the College of Media and Communication at Texas Tech University.
Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech here on KTXT, The Raider 88.1. Join the conversation on Twitter at The Raider 88.1 or on Facebook.com/The Raider 88.1. Talking the Oscars today and the best picture now of who should have won, who didn't win.
I'm so excited for this.
I'm really glad of who won, so that's my piece.
Alrighty, just to keep you up to speed, we have all the pictures that were up for Best Picture after, as soon as our bump music fades down. Alright, DG. Can we get that package?
The 2013 Oscar winners are, for Best Supporting Actress, Anne Hathaway.
With their voices soft as thunder.
Supporting actor, Christoph.
Does he have it? Oops, okay. Alrighty.
Well, that was our bad. We had some mix-ups, but I'll just tell you what the nominees were for Best Picture. Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty, Django Unchained, Unchained. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Django Unchained, Les Miserables,
Beasts of the Southern Wild,
Argo, and Amour.
And Argo was the winner. And I don't know. We as a staff went and saw Argo before we knew it was going to win, and because we had decided that we were going to see all of the best pictures for this, it didn't really work out that way, but we saw a couple.
And yeah. I mean, before I saw Argo, I thought Lincoln was the best picture of the year. And I think that's the way anyone's going to feel. Anytime you see a movie, you're going to be like, oh, this is the greatest picture ever. And then you go to the next one and you're like, oh, okay, now that one's the best that I've ever seen. And then I saw Zero Dark Thirty and I saw Les Mis, and they were all quality films. And there were some people that said this was a year of B films. This was the year of not so great films. But I have to say that out of some of the past years, I think this year was a quality, just different diversity of films across a different range. It wasn't a bunch of action films. It wasn't a bunch of dramas. It was a good mix of films that kind of touched everyone in different ways.
And if y'all didn't get to go out and see any of the movies, we have some audio clips of them, and they sound awesome. So, DG, go ahead and play that.
Nominees include Steven Spielberg's Lincoln.
We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Ang Lee's visual spectacle, Life of Pi.
My name is Pi Patel. I have been in a shipwreck. I am on a lifeboat alone with the tiger.
Tom Hooper's adaptation of the musical Les Miserables.
I dreamed my life would be so different from this hell I'm living.
Argo, directed by and starring Ben Affleck.
What's your job on the movie?
Producer.
Associate producer. What was the last movie you produced?
High and Dry.
Who paid for that?
CFDC.
What's your middle name? What's your middle name? What's your middle name?
Leon?
Shoot him. He's an American spy.
And Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained.
In my world, you gotta get dirty. So that's what I'm doing. I'm getting dirty.
For Good Morning Texas Tech, I'm Kevin Wade.
Life has killed a dream. I dream.
Well, that was a good mix of the movies from best pictures.
I did enjoy most of the best pictures. I did not go see Life of Pi because I had zero interest in that movie.
Didn't see that one either.
I had to read that book in high school, and I just resented the whole thing, and so I couldn't sit through it. I'm sorry.
I understand that it was the visual effects were probably out of this world. And
but
I guess this is probably because I grew up in the 90s. I would much rather see a animatronic dinosaur than an animated one. Jurassic Park, and I realize it had animated dinosaurs in it, but like where they're going out to check out the Stegosaurus or whatever. Whatever's sick. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. You probably
will you be seeing
movie.
That in 3D?
Yeah, I'll be seeing that.
Are you kidding me? Dinosaurs in 3D? Nightmares for 3 weeks?
My point is, I don't enjoy as much of the visual graphics type stuff. And I realize that they were supposedly snubbed at the Oscars. And we can talk about that a little bit later. But
I think Argo was a good winner. I agree with that one.
I do agree with you on that, Marissa. And I think that Ben Affleck should have been nominated for Best Director.
I agree. I stupid. Think he was awesome.
I liked Argo. I think it's kind of sad that Argo was considered the best that's been released in the past year.
No, but when we saw it, Josh was literally on the edge of his chair.
I thought
hands
it was awesome.
Holding his head.
But I also thought Taken was awesome. Taken did not deserve an Oscar.
No. I don't think you can compare Argo and Taken. Okay, Argo, after we left, you were like, it gave me pride in America, and granted...
No, I said it gave me pride in Canada.
Okay.
They're two very different things.
Because you went and researched Argo for an hour when we left the theater. You were like on
so enthralled with the story,
yes.
Right?
Because it's a fake story.
No, because you loved it. It doesn't matter. What matters is the story that they cast. It doesn't matter that it was fake. What matters was the story that happened.
Most of the stuff in Hollywood is twisted anyways, and it's not even...
It's for entertainment.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
I still think Argo does not live up to The Green Mile. It doesn't live up to Shawshank Redemption.
Well, but they're not nominated together,
Julie. I know, but the fact that that is the best that we turned out in the past year in movies, I don't like that. That makes me a little bit sad.
Well, Hollywood's gone weak anyways. I mean, they've run out of stuff to make in the movies. I mean, look, they're on this huge superhero binge right now where they're just making every superhero movie, making three of each of them, and they're going to run that until it's dry.
But that's what people want to see.
No.
That's what kids want to see. And well, I guess I consider myself a kid because I like to watch the superhero movies, but whatever. But no, out of this year, I agree with Julie. It's kind of sad that Argo was the best film out of the whole year because, you know, out of all the money and everything they can throw at this and the ideas and the writers, it's like, really, this is the best thing you could come
you
up with in a
year?
You
took a real story and then kind of made it a little bit fancier. Like, you didn't even write an original... I think that they could have done better.
I disagree.
I loved the movie. I think that we could have done better. And we'll talk more to Rob Peasley about that because I'm sure he has a lot to say. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
With your KTXT Sports Update, I'm Joshua Cook. Lady Raiders are back in action tonight inside the USA, trying to win game number 21 of the season. Tech taking on Oklahoma State, and the Lady Raiders are ready to continue to make their march towards the postseason one game at a time.
Well, it's important, you know, I mean, to be able to take them one at a time like we have been and put an exclamation point on the end of the season, obviously for Big 12 seeding and then also for NCAA tournament seeding. So we're just taking them one at a time. I mean, obviously the three games we have left are just as important as the ones before, but we understand the sense of urgency right now.
That was head coach Christy Curry speaking earlier on Tuesday afternoon. Tech enters the game 20-7 overall and 10-5 in conference play, while the Cowgirls come in with a 19-7 overall record and an 8-7 mark in league play. First tip is set for 7 p.m., and you can follow live updates from the game on Twitter at TheRaider881. Tech baseball finished their road trip in Florida with a victory on Tuesday. Red Raiders defeating Florida International 8-6, improving to 5-4 in the young season. Tech is back on the diamond on Friday as they welcome LaSalle into town for a three-game weekend series. In college basketball, the number one team has not been safe all season, and that proved true on Tuesday night once again. Number one Indiana falling to unranked Minnesota 77-73. Other ranked opponents falling as well were number 8 Florida losing to Tennessee 64-58 and unranked Xavier upending number 19 Memphis 64-62. In the NBA last night, the Dallas Mavericks were the only Texas team in action, Mavericks taking on the Milwaukee Bucks in Dallas. Mavericks would lose, though, in the end, 95-90. Mavs now 25-31 in the 2013 season. This has been your KTXT Sports Update. I'm Joshua Cook. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech. Back to Good Morning Texas Tech here on KTXT The Raider 88.1 FM Lubbock.
This is for the guys at Gatsby's Coffee. They said they didn't like this song.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where that joke was going, but we are now joined in studio by Dr. Robert Peasley. He's a professor for the College of Media and Communication and specializes in movie specific. I'm not supposed to read that. Goodness gracious. He works on how films have influenced our generation. Dr. Peasley, thank you so much for joining us in studio this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Now, when we say movies that influence our generation, we look at the best films of the year. And out of that group, I mean, you have to point to Zero Dark Thirty to one that influences our generation because we were growing up during 9/11 when that all happened. And over the last 10 years, we've been a part of this, you could almost say terrorism generation. Is that one of the movies that definitely impacts our generation out of the movies that were nominated for Best Picture?
Well, it was the film that I certainly felt the most strongly about coming in to the Oscars. I don't think it connected with audiences the way some of the other films did, clearly. It was shut out, I believe, at the Oscars. But it's a film that I think, you know, over time, history will show is definitive for this generation. And sorry. And that... you know, well, I think will be a really important document in terms of understanding where we were in 2013 and 2012.
When you look at the overall group you know, you look at Zero Dark Thirty, and that's kind of history of what's happened in the last 10 years. And then you switch and you flip the page to Steven Spielberg's, I'd almost say, masterpiece of Lincoln and what they did with that. Because when the movie first was promoted and I saw Lincoln was coming out, you know, your first thought is, okay, it's going to be about John Wilkes Booth. It's going to be about the assassination of Lincoln. But really, that wasn't at all what it was about. It was about the last few months of his presidency and what he accomplished in those last few months and essentially rewrote the history books forever.
Yeah, and of course, there's a book that I used for my screenwriting class by Robert McKee called Story, and one of the things he says in there is that the only reason to ever set a movie in the past is to say something important about the present. And certainly I think that Spielberg had in mind our current political climate and the kind of person it would take and the kind of political mind it would take to break through some of the gridlock that we see today.
Now, that movie was released after the election, correct?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, that's what I thought. A lot of people said that that movie was released as a political statement to try and get people to side with one or the other. And I was like, the election's already over. Why would you even...
Yeah, I don't, you know, now that I say that, I'm not 100% sure on the release date there.
I know, but it was released here after the elections, yeah. But I don't know as far as... I also wanted to ask you a question about... We discussed Life of Pi a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there should be a new classification for films that are, like, semi-animated?
Well, there is an animated film category.
I know that there is.
And so, yeah, is there a category somewhere between animated and live action? I think that's a pretty tough call. Where do you draw that line? And where does a film like The Hobbit fall, for example? I think a lot of actors would find... you know, would have problems with that.
Well, I feel like they should develop something that would recognize, you know, the actors in the films, but then so much of that film has nothing to do with even what's in that room. I know that one of the complaints about the new Star Wars movies, and mm-hmm. I'm sure that Weiner will love to talk about this, one of the complaints about the Star Wars movies was that they were all shot in a green room, mm-hmm. on green screen, and that was blamed for a lot of why they weren't maybe the best movies. So.
Well, they're often talked about as basically video games.
Yeah.
And, of course, Avatar was filmed by and large in a warehouse. So, you know, that's definitely the trend, especially for big budget films. I think, ultimately, you know, you'll see a greater emphasis on the more traditional live-action films as a backlash to that over time.
And I was going to mention Avatar. Was Avatar nominated for anything when it was up? Do you remember? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
It was?
Yeah, it was nominated for Best Picture. I believe Cameron was nominated for director.
It was a great movie, but I think Kira has a question here next.
I do. We were talking earlier about the movies nominated, and some of our team didn't feel like they were deserved or they were really sad. When we look at movies in the past and we look at movies today, what do you think that says, in your own opinion, of where we are or about our generation?
In terms of the films that were chosen for Best Picture
yes.
nominees? Well, I was just talking to Rob Weiner, and we were saying that we thought it was a pretty strong field this year, and there were actually a couple of films that were left off, Dark Knight Rises, The Master. So when you have that many films in a field of nominees, and you don't, for me anyway, see a lot of reason that they shouldn't be there. I mean, I think that says something about the strength of the film industry. That said, there's still plenty of stuff that gets made that makes a lot of money that isn't very good. I didn't really have a problem with the nominees this year. I thought everybody deserved to be there.
Now, when you look at the field of nominees, there's always going to be pictures that no one really knows. Like, Amour is a foreign film that no one really saw. Beasts of the Southern Wild was kind of one of those special films. In your mind, you'd mentioned Dark Knight Rises, which that's one of my favorite films, was the Dark Knight Rises or the Dark Knight series. When a movie like that gets left out and you get a movie put in there like Beasts of the Southern Wild, now granted, I have not seen this film, so I can't say much about it, but to our generation, it's kind of hard to explain to, I guess, my friends on why this movie, Beasts of the Southern Wild, was picked over Dark Knight Rises.
Right. Well, having seen the film, I think I can just say I think it was probably picked because it's, because it's a completely independent film that does way more than you think it would be able to do based on its budget. And I think that there's a certain amount of respect for anyone that can pull that off. Remember, these nominations are a result of a series of decisions made by individuals who are actors, directors, producers, screenwriters. So creatives are making these decisions, and they respect the efforts of other creatives. Now, so does that mean that there's no politics involved? No, of course there always is. But and you know, I think there's a certain amount of discourse as far as if a film does really well at the box office, then it doesn't necessarily need an Oscar too.
We've been talking with Dr. Robert Peasley. He's with the College of Media and Communication about the Oscar winners. We'll be back with Rob Weiner after this break.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is driving carefully this morning, as any snow that melted on Tuesday likely refroze overnight to create some spotty, icy patches on area roadways. So please be sure to drive safely and leave enough room between you and the driver in front of you. As far as today's weather go, looks like a cool one with breezy conditions as highs only make it into the mid-40s, so about 10 degrees cooler than yesterday. Skies will be mostly to partly cloudy, most likely clearing as we head through the day, so not too bad of a February day, but it will be chilly, so make sure you grab those jackets. I'm Cutter Martin with your KTXT forecast. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Local underwriting support for KTXT comes from Domino's Pizza, offering pan pizza, breadsticks, wings, and more. Serving Lubbock with 7 locations, Domino's can take your order by telephone or the internet. Orders are available for pickup or delivery. Domino's near Texas Tech is available by calling 806-763-3030, and other locations served online at dominoes.com.
Is my mic on? Okay. I can't really hear very much. I have bad hearing. We're here with Dr. Rob Weiner. Thanks for listening to Good Morning Texas Tech. Let us know what you think about the Oscars, what you thought about Best Picture, etc. at the Raider 881 on Twitter and Facebook. We kind of have a recap of the Oscar winners, some of the more notable awards that were given out. DG, can we go ahead and have that?
The 2013 Oscar winners are, for Best Supporting Actress, Anne Hathaway.
But their voice is soft as thunder.
I need your help.
Supporting Actor, Christoph Waltz.
I don't know what they look like, but you do. Don't you?
Actor in a leading role, Daniel Day-Lewis.
The fate of human dignity in our hands. Blood's been spilled to afford us this moment. Now.
Actress in a leading role, Jennifer Lawrence.
You poor social skills. You have a problem.
I have a problem? Mm-hmm. You say more inappropriate things than appropriate things.
And Best Picture, Argo.
They're a Canadian film crew for a science fiction movie.
I fly into Tehran. We all fly out together as a film crew.
I need you to help me make a fake movie.
Log on to our Facebook page and let us know what you think of the 2013 Oscar winners.
All right, what do you think, Dr. Rob Weiner?
Actually, I'm not a doctor.
Oh, are you not?
No, I have 2 graduate degrees.
Then I revoke that status.
Not a doctor.
I revoke that status from you then.
Okay. Although that's very nice to think of it that way. My father was a doctor.
So. I guess that can kind of count.
Yeah, yeah.
Too bad that doesn't work as an inheritance policy.
No, it doesn't. But hey, he started the computer science program here at Texas Tech back in the 70s. So, yeah.
That earns you double points.
Yeah, yeah, which is why I'm the artsy guy. I'm not a techie. What do I think? Actually, I was fairly pleased with the nominees. I was a little disappointed that Anthony Hopkins didn't get a nomination for Hitchcock because he nailed the role. But really, there was no choice for Best Actor, in my view. Daniel Day-Lewis, while all the other nominees were great, Daniel Day-Lewis just stands above all of them, I think. And I would argue that he's probably one of, if not the greatest, one of the greatest living actors in the world today that works in film. So I was pleased overall. I thought Argo was an interesting choice for Best Picture. It's a good movie. And it was modestly successful, but, you know, Affleck wasn't nominated for director, which was kind of weird. And, of course, the Academy snubbed DiCaprio for Best Supporting Actor for Django Unchained, and a lot of people were upset about that because his role was really good.
Why do you think that was?
maybe it was motivated because of the kind of character he was playing, the racist and the language that he used in the film. But, you know, I mean, Hopkins won for being Hannibal Lecter and you know, The Exorcist won in the 70s. And, you know, those are pretty edgy films that won. So
now, who are the people that put these nominations up? Who decides who gets nominated for what?
Well, again, as Dr. Peasley said, the Academy is made up of producers, screenwriters, actors, people who really, in some ways, don't have a pulse on the American public and what they go see. I mean, you know, The Avengers, huge movie, gets nominated in the, you know, for a technical award, doesn't win, but everybody loved that film. Now, that's not to say, you know, there's a lot of films, that, as Dr. Peasley pointed out, that make a lot of money that are terrible, you know, Transformers, Twilight, etc. Even though I love the Twilight films, just because they are so bad.
I agree. I went and saw all of them.
Yeah, I did too. I was sitting on the front row. Yeah. you know, but last year I think is a really good example. Okay, The Artist won, as well it should. It's a terrific film. Nobody went and saw it, even after it won.
I thought it was fantastic.
And a lot of the people were complaining about it because it's a silent movie.
That was the best part. That storytelling, I mean, that is the best storytelling you can get.
Yes, and I always tell students, and I always argue that if you want to see really good acting and really good storytelling, watch good silent movies. Because it's just it's a pure form of storytelling. Nevertheless, you know, it's a hard sell. And I think it was very edgy to do a silent film in, you know, 2011. So
and especially for our generation, I didn't see that movie. I don't think that I'd be able to sit through it even now because it's silent and I need some more interaction than that.
Actually, you'd be surprised. You know, I was at a screening once of a Charlie Chaplin movie where a bunch of students were there, City Lights, which is considered one of his masterpieces. They got it. I think you would get it if you would just give it a chance.
I absolutely agree. And that movie, there was so much emotion in just the way that he walked around on the sets. You did not need words. Words would have ruined that movie. And the words that they did use in it were perfect.
And sparse.
Yes, very much so. Towards the end.
But that's a perfect example of how the Academy is not in tune with the general public. And maybe it shouldn't be. I mean, the goal of the Oscars is to give recognition to artistic achievement. Now, that's not to say blockbusters can't win. I mean, Gone with the Wind, you know, took home a ton of Academy Awards. And it was, you know, even today, one could argue, you know, one of the biggest films. We don't have all the financial receipts, you know, tracking like we do today. But, you know, that was a huge blockbuster. And the Academy tends to ignore certain genre films. Unless it's like the last picture in the series, you know, like Return of the King or whatever, you know, but movies like The Hobbit, The Avengers, horror films don't usually get in there. I mean, we've had a few like The Exorcist and Silence of the Lambs, but they tend to go for, is it a good story? Does it move you in some way? And those are the kind of pictures that get the Academy Award nominee, but they're not always pictures that the American public. I mean, when I saw that Beast of the Southern Wild, it's a great film, but when I first saw that nomination, I was like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, the more I understood because I knew the director, and I'm so glad that won Best Foreign Film, even though it's a movie you really will get very, very depressed if you watch.
I was thinking last night, the Golden Globes has their awards broken down into comedy and musical and then drama categories, and the Oscars is not set up that way. Everything's kind of lumped together. Do you think it would be more effective and beneficial if they did something like that, where more people could be nominated?
I do. Even if they just do it off the cuff and you don't see it televised, because as we know, the Oscars was really long this year and kind of boring. although people complained about Billy Crystal, too.
Yep. Well, we've been here in studio with Rob Weiner, and we'll be back here after a quick break to look at our new music in the system.
This is Matt Smith, your music director at KTXT. This week's ads include Harper Lee by Little Green Cars, My Number by Foles, Breakers by Local Natives, Dreaming by Mac DeMarco, and I'm still reminded. Elephant by Tame Impala, and Sleeping Ute by Grizzly Bear. Be sure to tell us what you want to hear on KTXT by going to our Facebook page or via Twitter, hashtag RaiderTunes. Thanks for listening.
We're back in studio. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech. Let us know what you think about the Oscars at the Raider 881 on Twitter or on Facebook. We're here with Rob Weiner. We're talking about some of the ones that were up for Best Picture, etc., and why they were there in the first place.
when you look at the Best Picture overall, Argo was the one that took home the award. There were some people that were, I mean, not really surprised because they had taken that award in every other award show, and it would have been more of a surprise for them not to win at the Oscars. But in your mind, out of the group of pictures, was Argo the best film of the year?
I don't know if it was the best film, but it's certainly one of the best. Picking the best film is very difficult, and it's very subjective, and the Academy is subjective, you know, mm-hmm. the voters and the people who make it up. I mean, for me, Lincoln was an amazing film, but Spielberg has gotten a ton of them already. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, I wasn't surprised he didn't win. But yeah, Ben Affleck has proven himself as somebody who was, you know, earlier thought of as just being kind of a doofus, to somebody who really has a great deal of talent. And so, you know, I'm happy for him. I was surprised he wasn't nominated for director, but I think that that's one of the reasons that perhaps Argo won and, you know, Ang Lee won for direction. So. Mm-hmm.
Now, who votes on, like, which ones win? Because we said the Academy puts up the nominations, but does the Academy vote on them?
Yeah, the Academy votes on it, and it's all industry people. And like I said, I don't think that they have a real good understanding or of what the American public really likes. And what they're looking at is artistic achievement. Okay, does it tell a good story? Is the acting done well? Does the movie flow? Does it make a statement for, you know, the world at large? And that's why films like Beasts of the Southern Wild and Amour, you know, were nominated.
And I agree that storytelling element really does bring in, I mean, that is a deal breaker for me. If you can't tell a good story, you should not have any business having a film budget, in my opinion. And you mentioned Transformers. I hated those movies because they don't tell you anything.
No, and neither do the Star Wars prequels. You know, I heard what you said. I have lots of opinions, although Attack of the Clones is my favorite of the three.
I would say so.
Only because of Christopher Lee, and he's awesome.
Oh, he's awesome in anything.
Yeah, he is awesome in anything.
Now, when you mentioned Ang Lee as the best director, and when that came out that he had won Best Director for this year, you know, like you mentioned, Steven Spielberg has been the king of the mountain in Hollywood for many, many, many years.
And he's kind of the old guard now.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the one that everyone lives up to be because he's done so much. Anything he comes out with is going to be pretty much amazing. And with Lincoln, which was one of my favorite films of the entire year, and I'm a history buff, so that's why I loved it. But you look at that, you had Daniel Day-Lewis, you had Steven Spielberg, you had Tommy Lee Jones. I mean, it was pretty much a superstar cast. And he had John Williams doing the music, which I was actually more upset about John Williams not winning for music than anything else because I think his music's been unbelievable for many years.
Oh, there's no doubt.
But
he's won a lot of awards, too.
Do you think Hollywood and the Academy, you know, nominated them to say, hey, good job. You know, we see what y'all did, but we're not going to give you the award because you've accomplished so much. We're going to let these other people like Ang Lee win the awards because they haven't been to the top of the mountain yet.
Yeah, I think there is an element of that. And yet, you know, remember last year Meryl Streep won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's been nominated a ton, and her achievements are well known. And Daniel Day-Lewis, I mean, this is his third win, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Rightly so, because his performance just stands above all the others. I mean, there's, you know, he was really channeling Lincoln, whatever you thought of the movie.
I feel like normally you can see where the winners are going to be, and they normally group together within the movie. They're very clear. And this year, I don't feel like it was that way at all.
No, I agree with you.
And why do you think it was? Why do you think that?
There were a number of, you know, dark horse nominees and things that it was a varied collection of nominees, and all, just across the board, and a varied collection of films. So. It, you know, you really couldn't predict. I didn't expect Argo to win. I didn't expect Ang Lee to win.
I was very surprised when Argo won.
Yeah.
And like I said, I liked that movie very much.
Yeah,
and
me too.
They did a good job of telling the story. But I was just a little bit surprised. I thought that Lincoln, and I guess it's just the way that I see fairness. I don't care how many times you've won an award. If you deserve the award every time, I feel like you should win it every time. And so that's kind of what frustrated me about. And I understand giving other people a chance, but if you can't beat out Steven Spielberg, you can't do it.
Did you see Silver Linings Playbook?
Oh, I loved that movie. That's the movie I really wanted to win. I mean, what's so great about that film is it's a romance movie, but yet it doesn't feel like one. It's a totally new twist. It's very cleverly written, well acted. I'm not sure that Jennifer Lawrence should have won over Jessica Chastain, who was amazing, even though I was not a fan all that much of Zero Dark Thirty. I thought it was boring. But, you know, her performance is what makes the movie. And I didn't think Lawrence's was better, although she is amazing and a great actress, so.
I loved the movie as well. I agree. I wanted that one to win over Argo, but I liked Argo, so I wasn't disappointed.
Now, yeah. I saw both of them, and I thought Argo was the better film, although I did love Silver Linings Playbook. I just felt like Argo told the better story and had me, like, on the edge of my seat more so than Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, and I can see that, and I think that's why it won. Silver Linings Playbook was... It's quirky, almost too quirky in a way, and so maybe some of the Academy voters didn't get what was going on with it, but, you know, I still like that movie a little better. I had more fun watching Silver Linings Playbook than I did Argo, but Argo tells a great story, and it is an edge on your seat, or however you say it, seat on the edge, whatever.
Now, when it comes to the Oscars itself, the program itself, it took 3.5 hours for them to go from start to finish with everything. And of course, if you watched the whole red carpet 2 hour beforehand, it was like a 5.5 hour huge marathon. Exactly, it's a yawner. I mean, do you think
get rid of the monologues.
It felt like it took forever to get to the awards that we actually, I mean, cared about. I mean, it's bad to say, but I mean, I really don't care who wins for cinematography. I mean, you can almost just slam all those into one, say, hey, this person won, this person won, this person won for that. Okay, here's best actor. Because really, everyone's just watching for best actor, best actress, you know, supporting director. I watch for the music because I enjoyed the music and films. And then best picture. That's the ones that everyone watches for. So you have to sit through, like, 3 hours of dancing and singing and teddy bears coming on the stage, and
which was funny.
I thought it was funny, and then the first
lady was weird.
Yeah, that was just like, okay, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
That did not bother me.
I said this earlier. Obama's really run a campaign that is very media and Hollywood friendly. I've always said he's more like a movie star than a president. That's how he comes across. And so I wasn't surprised to see Michelle Obama there. Maybe not excited, but I wasn't surprised. Anyway, we're going to end on that note. Kira's mad at me.
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, we've been talking with Rob Weiner from the Texas Tech Library about the Oscars, and it's been awesome. Thank you so much for being in.
Anytime.
And let us know what you think on Facebook at the Raider 881. We'll be right back. Where is my mind?
you could earn a master's degree in 1 year with the College of Media and Communication at Texas Tech University. Our 30-hour graduate program prepares you for exciting careers in areas like advertising, electronic media, journalism, media strategies, public relations, and sports media. Courses are available in the afternoons and evening, allowing you to build a schedule that fits your needs. For additional information, including how to apply, visit ttugrad.org.
I hope everybody is driving carefully and walking carefully for that matter, as any snow that melted on Tuesday likely refroze overnight, leading to some patchy areas of ice. And for today's forecast, it looks pretty cold and breezy with high temperatures in the mid and upper 40s across the central South Plains. Winds making it feel more like the upper 30s and lower 40s, so be sure you grab a jacket as you head out the door. Overall though, mostly sunny skies, a few clouds earlier in the day likely clearing by afternoon, so it will be chilly, but overall not a bad day. For the Raider 88.1, I'm Cutter Martin. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech, and there's giggles all over the studio.
Okay, I have to say one thing before we move on about Michelle Obama being, her husband is the president. She is not the president. And I don't think that it was a big deal for her. Her platform is fitness and staying healthy.
That's cool.
And that is cool. Thank you.
Who cares?
That is her platform.
Who cares? Shut up.
So if she chooses, if they ask her to do that and she shows up and it takes her 30 seconds out of her day, who cares?
Do you realize that nobody would listen to Michelle Obama if her husband was not the president?
Nobody would have listened to Laura Bush if her husband wasn't the president.
Yeah, and I don't like Laura Bush either.
But that's every first lady.
I think first ladies need to stay away from the Oscars.
Oh my gosh.
I think first ladies need to stay just...
I just saw the screen come down and it was Michelle Obama and I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. We've been sitting through this thing for 3 hours now. Now I got to hear some huge monologue by the first lady and then we get to the best picture. I'm like, you're just dragging this out. It's like they were just, it was terrible. I mean, it was the worst experience just sitting through. I mean, it could have been boiled down to like
that
2 hours.
That was the worst part of the Oscars for you? Really?
Yeah, that was the worst part.
That's really
I would take
sad.
Ted, the teddy bear, coming on
Give
stage over that.
Give me a break.
That was hilarious.
Absolutely not.
Ted coming on stage was hilarious.
I do know, though, that Hollywood and government hold hands a lot, so...
Welcome to America? I don't know what to say. That's not new. Nothing is new under the sun.
I know that, but it doesn't mean that all of a sudden I'm going to be like, all right, this is great. Like, anytime I have a chance to be like, I don't know why that happened, I'm going to say, I don't know why that happened. Well, and I've gotten in trouble, I guess, for encouraging people to not be involved in the government, which is not what I was saying.
Oh, we did get in trouble for that. But I think that's one of the reasons why Zero Dark Thirty didn't win, was because it was so... I think it was too soon for a movie like that, for me personally. I didn't go see it, but knowing what it was going to be about, I was like, I can't sit through that.
No. It was like Passion of the Christ for me. I couldn't go see
too
Passion
soon?
Of the... Yes!
Really?
I've only been alive for like 15 years, okay? It's just like that movie.
I don't really know what to say.
Kira doesn't know where to go with that.
I'm just saying
that movie,
both of those movies were about things that were so close to my heart, things that were so tragic. Like, the Twin Towers, I remember where I was sitting. I remember I was facing east. I remember everything about that day. And that's, like Josh brought up at the first of the show, that's our generation. That's what we grew up with. And I can't go sit in a theater without becoming just a sloppy mess, a puddle in the floor.
It wasn't really the way it definitely Zero Dark Thirty was way different than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be all about just the whole mission to go get, you know, Osama bin Laden and that thing. But it started with 9/11 and it built up to the point of finally killing
bin Laden. But that was also a fictional portrayal of what happened. Those were not the actual events.
There were, when the movie was released out to the government or whatever, they had to go back and edit it like a bunch of times because they had to take out different stuff because there were certain I wish they would just release a true version, because I'm like, who really cares what happened?
Well, the government kind of stepped away from Zero Dark Thirty, because they were first they were with it, but then when they started changing it and made all of these fictional add-ins, yeah. they said this is not what actually occurred, and we don't support it.
But see,
anymore.
The government was really trying to shut down the film to start off with,
I was surprised that they released it. Honestly, yeah. I was surprised that it made it. I think
it was essentially the government saying, okay, you've made all these changes, now you can release it. Now it's okay. You've done enough to where this is not truthful. So
see,
you
but that's not what I read. I read that they were going along with the film, but the film had to make it more entertainment driven and in order to try to get an audience to come see it. And so they made it more elaborate than what it actually was.
Yeah.
But that's okay for Zero Dark Thirty, but it's not okay for Argo.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying... as long as we know that it's fiction. I'm okay with yeah. you telling me that this is not what really happened. Okay. It's for your entertainment.
The only historically accurate film out of the whole thing was Lincoln. I mean, if we want to go historically accurate, it was only
that's
Lincoln.
That's alive still, so we can just say, like, yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah, see, that's what happened.
For me, that's what really happened.
For me, if there's going to be a movie about 9/11, I think it needs to be kind of like how Pearl Harbor was really close to what actually happened during yeah. Pearl Harbor. I need something that's really close to it.
Okay, hold on. Time out. No. Okay, time out. Time out. No. Pearl Harbor... The movie Pearl Harbor. If you want to see a movie that was really close to what happened, it's an old black and white film, and DG probably knows about it. It's called Tora Tora.
Yep.
And it was about the attack. It was in color. The version I've seen is black and white. Okay, maybe it was on AMC. I don't know. Anyways, I thought it was a very historically accurate film, and DG because all Pearl Harbor was surrounded about was this whole love interest thing, and it wasn't
No.
It's like Titanic. It's like that whole Jack Titanic. And Rose thing. Yeah, no. It was
it's
all about the boat
my soul
sinking.
That you
it's
said like, that was like a legitimate
people drowning
depiction
all around.
Marissa.
Well, it was
no.
to
no.
me
no.
in my
no.
little head of what Pearl Harbor is. That that's
well,
what happened.
Don't. Yeah. Don't.
In your little head together. That's what happened.
Another I'm sure I'm not Hollywood. The only one that thinks that that is a close depiction of what Pearl Harbor is. There's got to be more of me out there.
Kira's not even touching that one.
That Pearl Harbor is an accurate depiction. Hit us up on Facebook. Y'all, whatever. Thank you so much for tuning in today.
If you agree with me, let me know.
No.
We'll be back on Monday.
You better
Monday.
Not.
Hey, show's over. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks for listening.
You can earn a master's degree in 1 year with the College of Media and Communication at Texas Tech University. Our 30-hour graduate program prepares you for exciting careers in areas like advertising, electronic media, journalism, media strategies, public relations, and sports media. Courses are available in the afternoons and evening, allowing you to build a schedule that fits your needs. For additional information, including how to apply, visit ttugrad.org.
I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go.
Rose wouldn't have had to let go if she'd only listened to KTXT's winter weather alerts with up-to-date emergency weather conditions on the air, Twitter, and Facebook. KTXT Weather will never let you go.
Local underwriting support for KTXT comes from Domino's Pizza, offering pan pizza, breadsticks, wings, and more. Serving Lubbock with 7 locations, Domino's can take your order by telephone or the internet. Orders are available for pickup or delivery. Domino's near Texas Tech is available by calling 806-763-3030, and other locations served online at dominoes.com.
Guns up, Red Raiders. This is Robert Giovanetti, Associate Vice Chancellor for Communications and Marketing. You're listening to The Raider, 88.1, KTXT FM, Lubbock.